From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, November 3rd, 2017. And on this day, Governor LePage vetoes the bill that would have established rules for selling recreational marijuana in the state. So what happens now? And power restoration continues with some holdups. That's all ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Coastal Maine Botanical Gardens, presenting Gardens Aglow, where visitors will see the gardens in a whole new light. Tickets available at mainegardens.org. And by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Maine Governor Paul LePage has vetoed a bill to set rules for the retail sale of marijuana in Maine. A 17-member bipartisan commission created the bill over a period of 9 months, but it failed to win the support of LePage, who has long been a vocal opponent of legalized marijuana. Mel Leary has details.
The governor cited several reasons for his decision to issue a veto. One is the fact that marijuana is still outlawed at the federal level.
Federal government has not said, the Trump administration has not said they won't enforce federal law. The Obama administration did. So if I sign that bill, I am violating my oath of office, and I can't do that. So I'm vetoing on that grounds.
LePage says he's also disturbed about recent reports from other states that have implemented retail sales of marijuana.
Statistics that have come out of Colorado and Washington State on the increased deaths on highways, and increased crime relative to drugs.
The governor also told Maine Public Radio that as the state implements rules for the retail marketplace, it also needs to change its medical marijuana laws.
Since November last year, we've gone from 900 caregivers to over 4,000, which means that nobody's going to be going to recreational. They're all moving over to their medical so they don't get the taxation. And until they fix that, I can't support it.
Disappointed, obviously.
Democratic State Representative Teresa Peirce of Falmouth co-chaired the committee. She responded to news of the veto on Maine Public Radio's Maine Calling program.
I think that we put together a strong committee that worked in a bipartisan manner to come up with a comprehensive, thoughtful bill that protects public health, protects our kids and our communities.
Committee co-chair Roger Cates, a Republican senator from Augusta, criticized LePage for refusing to participate in the committee process and raising his objections after the fact. Cates also challenged the governor's claims that the federal government might step in and enforce federal marijuana laws in the state.
Federal government has decided to take a hands-off attitude toward it, as long as the states are very careful in making sure that it doesn't get improperly diverted.
And Kate says he's optimistic there will be the two-thirds vote of those present voting to override the veto. But House Minority Leader Ken Fordette of Newport believes fellow House Republicans will support the governor. He says 53 members voted against the bill, and if they all show up Monday, the veto will be sustained. Fordette says he hopes that when the legislature returns next year, it will extend the moratorium on pot sales that expires in February.
And whether the other parties like it or not, we're going to have to extend that moratorium to continue to figure out how to deal with the implementation of this law.
Lawmakers reconvene on Monday. Meanwhile, supporters of the bill are actively lobbying Republican colleagues for enough votes to overturn the veto. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Meanwhile, Governor LePage says he will allow a bill that delays implementation of ranked choice voting to become law without his signature.
I encourage the people that want to have a people's veto to bring it in. It will be, the Supreme Court's already said it's unconstitutional, so let the courts decide.
Supporters of ranked choice voting have vowed to use the people's veto provision in the Maine Constitution to force a referendum vote on legislation approved by lawmakers last month. They delayed implementation until 2021 to give them time to address constitutional problems raised by the Maine Supreme Court. If the law is not amended by the deadline, ranked choice voting would be repealed. LePage told Maine Public Radio he believes if state courts don't strike down the law, federal courts will. By taking the full 10 days he has to consider the bill, LePage has now made it difficult for the Secretary of State's office to finalize petitions for ranked choice voting supporters need to launch a people's veto. They were hoping to begin circulating them on Election Day, Tuesday. Electric crews are continuing to make progress toward restoring power to customers of Emera and Central Maine Power who've been without electricity since the windstorm tore through the state Sunday night and Monday morning. At the height of the outages, about 500,000 people were without power.
We are at the slowest part of this, and the slowest because you might have 4 or 6 bucket trucks on a road that are going to pick up 2 customers.
Sarah Burns is CEO of Maine's largest utility, CMP. She says the rural nature of the state means slower restoration times for more remote customers, but the numbers are slowly improving. She says crews are also being slowed down, though, by well-meaning people who approach line workers with hot coffee and refreshments and accidentally enter the restricted perimeter known as the safety zone. Burns says she feels terrible asking people to dial down the kindness, but if they have refreshments for crews, to put them well away from where the actual work is taking place.
You can leave them across the street and point at them and say, you know, I'm leaving this sitting on this stump or something. But if you enter the zone, you're stopping our work. And let us focus on getting this done.
CMP says it expects to have the bulk of its outages mended by late Saturday night. And Emera Maine says it expects to have most of its customers back with the lights on by late tonight. And finally today, marijuana is in the news right now, but it's always on the minds of marijuana farmers in the state. Those who grow plants outdoors have recently brought in their harvest, and many have been sitting around tables painstakingly trimming buds with scissors. It's a process that's tedious and, one Midcoast farmer says, obsolete. Murray Carpenter reports on a Maine-made innovation aimed at bringing efficiency to the harvest.
On a warm fall day, King Bishop is harvesting the medical marijuana plants from his farm in Morrill. After he stacks the stems onto a table in his shop, he feeds them into a small machine.
All of those nuggets, or what would be the buds, have all got to be removed from the stem. And so that's what that machine is doing.
The face of the machine has a series of small holes of varied sizes. Bishop inserts the stems, one at a time, into a hole that's a tight fit for the stem, but too small for the buds to fit through.
And then those big rollers inside the machine are actually pulling the main stem right out of the plant, and then the buds are staying on this side of the metal plate and the waste is on the back side.
A tote tray beneath the machine quickly fills with the buds, which are worth $3,000 per pound. Bishop, who has been growing medical marijuana since 2010, says the machine eliminates the tedious work of trimming the plants with scissors.
Just this pile right here would take me a couple of hours, and we're going to do it in the next 2 or 3 minutes. We'll be done with this, with the bud tugger.
The machine is part of a mechanized line in the shop that includes a vacuum table and a Canadian-made bud trimmer. Bishop worked with a Northern Maine machine shop to make his first bud tugger just 4 months ago. A West Coast company has been marketing a similar machine for several years, which retails for nearly $20,000. Bishop's machine sells for $3,500. He sold 8 so far, without any advertising, beyond a video posted on his Facebook page.
It's been a game changer. I have one. I bought one. I recommend it to everybody.
Dan Brown of Gravelwood Farm in Blue Hill is another medical marijuana caregiver and the owner of a grower's supply store. He was among the first to buy one of the machines.
These technologies really just turn it from a drudgery, the side of this that was just you would dread sitting there at the table for hours and hours and hours. Now I don't mind it. I like it. It's fun to just stand there and stuff them in and pop the nuggets off.
Bishop says the bud tugger allows him to harvest his plants when they're ready, while complying with state rules limiting the hiring of marijuana farmhands.
The state allows us to grow the cannabis, but we can't have anybody helping us. I'm only allowed to have one employee. So it would be like trying to take down your vegetable garden all in a matter of a few days with just one person helping you. If the cannabis is staying outside too long, it's like any other plant. It'll get mold, mildew, it'll rot. So really, it was out of necessity. I couldn't have the extra employees, and I needed to be able to take my garden down when it was ripe.
He says in addition to the buds, his machine also produces clean stems that can be processed as hemp fiber, which will become more valuable as that industry develops in Maine.
With any industry, you expect to see innovation come, especially when it's new and emerging.
That's Heather Darby, an agronomist with the University of Vermont. Darby has been working with Vermont farmers who are growing hemp and harvesting the flowers, or buds, which are not psychoactive. She says the industry could use some innovation, because it's a slow process for now.
It took roughly about 8 people an hour to harvest one very large plant.
King Bishop hopes his machines will become more popular as the marijuana and hemp industry scale up in Maine.
Because when we start to process hundreds of acres of hemp, we're not going to do it with a pair of scissors.
Bishop plans to produce more of the machines as a sideline to his medical marijuana business. He's now developing a smaller countertop model designed for growers with just a few plants to process. And he'd like to have more machines on hand in time for next year's harvest, so he can rent them out to shorthanded harvesters. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Murray Carpenter.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, November 3rd, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.